Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And we're here for the first time in 2017. And how does it feel, Greg?
It feels like a whole new year. Happy New Year, Mark Morrell. Happy New Year, fellow Voltron fans.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everyone. And wow, we've already got a lot of things going on in this new year. And obviously, we knew that coming in because on January 20th, season two comes out. And we had a lot of things happening this week.
Yeah. And what's that show called? Voltron something?
Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. Yes. Season two is starting. And yeah, I to say that I'm excited about this new season is a massive, massive understatement. It's been, what, 6 months, 7 months since season one dropped, all 11 episodes of all new Voltron goodness. And we're about to have a drop of an as yet officially unannounced number of episodes. I think we could probably hazard a guess.
It's either 11 or 13.
Yeah, 11 or 13. Yeah. So yeah, it's a fair assumption. It's probably going to be 13 episodes with the possibility of a reduced episode count if they choose to edit some of those into longer shows as they had done with season one for The Rise of Voltron. But yeah, my gosh. I mean, would you have thought 1 year ago that we would be talking about season two of one of the best Voltron programs ever made?
Right. And wow. This has been an incredible year already, and we haven't even gotten through the first week yet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's been a lot of activity in retail stores across the country as Voltron Legendary Defender and Voltron fans in general have been scrambling to find the new toys from Playmates Toys. Some stores have had them. Some stores haven't. Some stores that have had them even on display have said, oh, I'm so sorry, we can't sell them to you yet because of some street date that none of us understands. But they're just beginning to roll out, and I've been noticing them here and there, and wow, it's so cool to see them at mass retail.
Yeah, I mean, personally myself, this is the situation I came into. I kept on looking at the Target. I kept on looking at Walmart and Toys R Us. And now the Walmart has them. And what I saw was Ultimate Voltron, Black Lion, all the basic figures, including Mizax and the Lion Attack Voltron and the Sword Attack Voltron and all the basic Lions, and also the Transforming Sword. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see any of the role play items at Walmart. Okay. But then at the Targets, I was able to get one Target where the guy didn't have anything out on the shelves, but told us that they were in the back and they were about ready to get that shelf ready for the Voltron stuff. But what he did do for me was I told him exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for a green and blue Lion, and that's of the legendary Lions, the bigger ones.
Right.
So he was able to go in the back, bring out the box, and I told him, okay, I just need green and blue. And that was it. And as soon as I took it to the checkout, it checked out fine.
Wow, that's funny. So Voltron fans, you know, get the form sword and go out, not literally, go out to your retail stores. And if you don't see them out there, ask the fine folks there. They may just not have gotten them on the shelves yet. So that's a good story.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry about this for our international fans, but again, Jeff Trojan himself in our podcast with him, podcast number 81, he said that they're going to start this in North America and then expand from there. And we have no set dates at all on when it goes to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And what regions of the world it hits and in what order. We have no idea of any of that. Now, hopefully, you know, we can get somebody from Playmates Toys back on again, and then we can, you know, get some additional information about the rest of the rollout, hopefully.
Yeah, that would be great. And I feel for the folks who are in countries where these toys have not yet rolled out. They are phenomenal. I'm still in the process of recording the my last toy review for this first wave of toys. If you've been following our YouTube channel, I had reviewed the wearable roleplay toys as well as the basic action figures. I did those in two separate reviews. Mark and his son Lucas recorded a review of Ultimate Voltron, and I'm in the process of cranking out the review of all five legendary Lions. I expect to have that done within the next 48 hours or so. It's been slow going, but real life has a way of interfering with reviewing toys. But in any case, yeah, obviously you and I both have had a chance to look at many, many, if not all of these toys up close and personal, and my gosh, they're fun, aren't they?
I can tell you this is exciting because these are not only a full line of toys, but it's a full line of toys that everybody can play with. And I'm enjoying them myself, and I'm pretty well grown up. But my son, who's 13, he enjoys playing with them. But this can go down to even younger ages, like 3 and 4 even probably could enjoy some of these toys.
I actually just a few days ago gave Sword Attack Voltron to my daughter, who's now 5, and she's had some fun with that. And she actually ran upstairs to she had a snack where she could watch a TV show, and she ran upstairs, grabbed her Sword Attack Voltron, then ran back downstairs and turned on Netflix and watched an episode of Voltron Legendary Defender. And that's what I love to see and hear. These are a lot of fun. For us older school fans, we may be looking only at the combining legendary lions, but I gotta tell you, the Ultimate Voltron is a really, really great display piece. I actually have been using that when my daughter's been playing with her Barbies. I'll bring up Ultimate Voltron and play act like he wants to get in on their tea party or their mall shopping or birthday party or whatever it is that the Barbies are doing. I've been trying to get Voltron in on the action, and it's been a lot of fun. And the basic lions are so cute. I mean, they've got the more accurate proportions. They're great desktop toys for all you grown-up kids out there. They're just a hoot. And it goes without saying that I'm absolutely in love with the legendary lions toys. They're great. And the wearable toys, I had a lot of fun putting those things on for the review video and making a fool out of myself, even more than I usually do on this podcast. Golly, they're just great. So I would encourage everyone who enjoys Voltron Legendary Defender to pick up at least one of these things. And I'm hesitant to sound like some kind of a pledge drive kind of a person, but your money does show interest in a property, and if we can see this merchandise move, whatever small part we can do to help that stuff move, we don't get any kickback for this kind of stuff. We're doing this because we love the show and love Voltron as a property. But if you guys love the show and have any inkling toward buying these toys, pick up one or two and have fun with it, and we can help keep Voltron defending the universe.
Yeah, there's toys here as low as $10. So, they're at the low price points that everybody was hoping for. Now, the other thing is that, maybe you're a kid who hasn't seen the Netflix show yet. I don't know why, but you haven't seen the Netflix show yet, but you see this in the toy store next to the Star Wars and Marvel and Transformers and, Power Rangers and TMNT and all those toys. And you just happen to say, okay, what's this Voltron all about? And you start the try me thing that they have on all these toys, the Black Lion, the legendary Black Lion, and of course the Ultimate Voltron, both have those try me things where you can just hear the sounds and everything. So they start playing with them in the store, and then they see on the box that it's on Netflix. So then they look it up on Netflix, and then they start watching the show, and then of course they fall in love with it, because who doesn't after they start watching the show?
Absolutely. Gosh, yes, it's so good.
Yeah, so that's the hope that Lauren Montgomery and Joaquin Dos Santos were saying. We hope that some people who haven't seen the show yet will see these in the toy stores and then say, "Hey, I would love to play with this." And by the way, there's a show associated with this. Now let me see the show. But of course, they're really hoping that, of course, fans of the show just go out in droves and buy all these toys.
Yes, and more importantly, kid fans. And I don't mean that to diss us, because you and I are kids at heart, but biologically we are not kids. But the kid in all of us of any age, especially the actual kids, getting those out and getting those kids out there and buying that stuff and begging their parents and grandparents and Santa Claus and anybody else to pick up these great things. It's such a cool thing. I got to tell you, I was all about some of the Voltron the Third Dimension toys back in the late 90s. There were some of the things that at the time didn't strike my fancy, but now in retrospect certainly have, and I've gone back and purchased some years after the fact. But it was such, you know, looking back, I sort of took it for granted. Wow, Voltron's back on shelves, and eventually, poof, it was gone again, and was gone for many, many years. And Voltron Force sadly only had a single 26 episode season and no toys, which was a massive bummer. Right. So now that we have this great show, we've got, you know, 11 episodes so far. And, you know, however many are coming out in season two, if we can, you know, ride this awesome wave and enjoy it, you know, to the fullest while it lasts, hopefully it will last for a very long time.
Yes. And what else is encouraging, you know, we've been doing reviews of all these toys, but we've seen a lot of other reviews happening out there on YouTube. Obviously, if you look up Ultimate Voltron, or if you look up Voltron Basic Figures, Playmates, Toys, you're going to see a whole bunch of people doing reviews of these toys, which is very encouraging. I love seeing that, and it's awesome.
Yes, it is. I really wish we could have gotten things out a little sooner, but, you know, we got very generously given a set of some of the toys from Playmates Toys, and we are very grateful to them for that. But with respect to the combining one in particular, neither of us had a full set of Five Lions, so there was a bit of delay as we were buying them like everyone else to try to get a full set. And then, of course, because I'm kind of crazy and want to make the video the best video that I can, given that I've only made completed two review videos so far. We're a little behind the curve on it, but and I apologize for that. But there are some great reviews out there. And yes, it's so cool to see Voltron, you know, reaching all corners of the defended universe, YouTube and of course, Walmarts and Target stores of the world. And of course, Netflix. It's just what a wonderful time to be a fan.
I saw one Japanese review of the Voltron Legendary Defender toys that had over 60,000 views on it already.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
And it was completely in Japanese.
Wow. So when you say you saw it, you literally saw it and you know, didn't really listen because you probably couldn't...
Well, it didn't even have dubbed English on it or anything. You know, it didn't have captions or anything. So it was just completely in Japanese and it had over 60,000 hits.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of toys, this isn't well, maybe it's a toy, maybe it's not. It's certainly a toy for the grown-up Voltron fan. The Bandai Soul of Chogokin Voltron, or Golion, GX-71, is just beginning to reach some people, seemingly in Japan and similar regions. And I've heard of some folks. Lindy Tayag, I believe, has one.
Yeah.
The Lego designing genius, and we're, you know, massive fans of him. I believe he's got one. A few other people have. I have pre-ordered one. I don't know when I'll get it, but that one is coming out. There are a lot of video reviews of that, and holy crud, does that thing look great.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, we saw it on display at New York Comic Con 2016. Was that thing cool or what?
Yeah, I saw it in both New York and San Diego, so I guarantee it's a great thing. So all the reviews are already showing, you know, that it's going to be very popular.
Yeah. Oh, and there's another one we cannot forget, and that's the Toynami Ultimate EX.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a 16-inch behemoth of awesomeness, and that's just beginning to show up in collectors' mailboxes from their favorite online retailers. And I personally have not ordered one myself, but I did see that on display at New York Comic Con 2016, and I was blown away by the size and the really appealing alternate take on that robot and the lions and the articulation. It looks like a real winner. So what awesome stuff is coming out? It's just incredible.
Right. And, you know, people are also excited about more merchandise coming out for Voltron Legendary Defender. But realizing at the same time, you can still get some of the classic Voltron if you're, you know, so inclined. Now, also over the weekend, we had Target had put on sale for $8.99 a kid's t-shirt for Voltron Legendary Defender. And a lot of adults were saying, hey, why can't I get that in my size?
Well, you can.
Well, believe it or not, a Target representative on their Twitter had actually said, we're going to, you know, ask that same question to our buyers and see if we can, you know, arrange for getting Voltron Legendary Defender t-shirts for adults.
Yeah, that's cool. So, you know, when I said you can find these things, and not that specific design yet in adult sizes, but there are a variety of awesome looking Voltron Legendary Defender t-shirts available online if you look. The adults, kids of all ages have some amazing apparel they can pick up as well.
Well, there was the We Love Fine shirts that we had gotten, previously at the conventions. And then there's also, whatever you can see on Voltron.com. And then I'm sure that they're going to be coming out with a full line of t-shirts pretty soon. They've got to.
They do. So yeah, great time to be a fan and a collector of Voltron awesomeness.
Right. And what we're going to be doing pretty soon, and we're just teasing this right now because we're still working out the particulars of this, but we are going to be having a very special contest which will enable you to win some of these awesome Playmates toys.
Oh yes, this is exciting stuff. And this was purely from the brain of one Mark Morrell. And what an awesome idea this is.
Right. So as soon as we get the final approvals on this, and we'll post up our contest rules, and we'll announce it on a future podcast, but it'll be very soon. And you're going to love this contest because it involves you guys. Because without you, this isn't going to work.
Yes, and if it works, it will be glorious.
Yes. So we're looking forward to setting that up for you, because not only will people who already have the toys have a chance to win something, but people who weren't able to get toys will have a chance to win something as well.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So we're looking forward to that. And obviously, another huge thing happened this week.
Yes.
Something that everybody has been waiting for.
A teaser, right?
Well, it's not a teaser really much anymore. I mean, we had originally seen back in San Diego, they first showed us the teaser trailer for season two, and that was the one where everybody thought, Shiro was going to die.
Yes.
And now they've come out with an awesome full season two trailer.
Yes, the trailer, yes.
Yes. And it couldn't have come at a better time because everybody was chomping at the bit. When is that trailer coming out? Because it was almost January 20th, So we're getting closer and closer to January 20th, and people want to see more about what this show is going to be about, what this season is going to be about. I don't know. It was just exciting to see the trailer unfold online and to see everybody's reaction to it.
Yeah, it's a fun trailer, and it definitely got me back in the Voltron mood. Not that I'm ever not in the Voltron mood, but yeah, great stuff.
All right. So we're going to talk about this trailer now, right?
Let's do it.
All right. So Greg and I have seen the trailer over 100 times, right?
Yes, including once just now to refresh our awesomely decayed memories, or at least mine. Mark's is like a steel trap for this. Mine is more like a sieve. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, it seems like what they do at the very beginning of the trailer is just a little refresher of what we know from season one, and we saw a couple of images from season one, and then they pull us in hard for season two.
And I gotta say, that was a great move. When I first saw the trailer, I thought, oh, come on, at least a third of it is a recap of season one. And then I thought, you know what? Not everyone has seen season one yet. And so if you're trying to sell a season two, it's kind of nice to assume that there are people who haven't seen season one and give them kind of a hook to make them want to watch this thing before season two comes out.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfectly good idea. I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't appeal to both people who have already seen season one and people who haven't seen it at all.
I have, during my travels throughout space and time, encountered a few living beings who have not yet learned that Voltron is back. So it's nice to do that sort of intro to this new show.
Yeah, one thing I didn't like hearing though is when I went to the toy stores and asked for the Voltron toys, and they're saying, "What's Voltron?"
Oh yeah, the very first time, what was it? No, I wasn't even buying Voltron at the time. I was actually Christmas shopping back in December, and I had my awesome Voltron Han Solo ring on, and I don't remember if I said this in the podcast in the past or not, but I was talking to someone at the service desk, and she goes, "Oh, what is that?" And I said, "It's Voltron." She goes, "Oh, is that like Transformers?" And I just kind of went, "Yeah," and then she said, "Oh, I thought it was Texas."
Oh,
But anyway,
man.
yeah, there are some people living under a massive asteroid-sized rock who have no idea that Voltron exists or is back again. But this trailer is a great way to bring people back on board.
Right. And then once the trailer, gets into the season two, obviously the first thing we see is Zarkon, and Zarkon now has some way of having some kind of connection to Voltron. Is it through Black Lion, or is it through Shiro? We have no idea whether, there's a lot of speculation out there as to whether Shiro's arm has some kind of tracking device in it or something like that, or whether it's Zarkon's newfound connection to Black Lion again, that he's able to track Black Lion anywhere.
Right, or it might even be Allura, since she was in captivity for a while. I mean, we just
Right.
don't know.
We don't know, and of course, it looks like the Paladins don't know because they're at several points along this trying to figure out why exactly he knows how to find them.
I just wonder if maybe Hunk dropped his Voltron Geiger counter from the Rise of Voltron, and maybe they picked it up and just boosted it somehow. But I kind of doubt
I don't know, but yeah,
that.
if Hunk was able to do it, maybe they were able to do it. But I think there's a little bit more magic involved in this,
Yeah, me too.
because the last time Zarkon gets in the middle of that ring, and all the druids combine, including Hagar, and they all fire at him, and he lights up purple, obviously, and then somehow they're able to find out where Voltron is.
As we all know, purple is the color of evil in cartoons, so yeah.
Right. So, and then other things that sparked other people's interest, obviously, was seeing the whole Voltron team together, again after getting separated at the end of season one.
Yeah, so that suggests that for at least a few seconds, Shiro will live long enough to be with the rest of the Voltron Paladins.
And they will be able to form Voltron again, obviously.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, so how long it will take before they all get back together, we don't know how many episodes that will take, but obviously this trailer shows them back together again.
Yep, woohoo.
That's a positive thing.
It is.
And then, of course, some of the people got really excited about seeing Keith and Lance without any shirts on.
Yeah, I have no comment on that, but different strokes for different folks.
Right.
We love everyone who loves Voltron.
That's
So,
right.
go Voltron Force.
Right. So, there's a lot of speculation as to why they might not have shirts on, or why Hunk was wearing a what seemed to be an apron, but it almost seemed like a holographic apron.
Yeah, and for all those shippers out there, maybe the apron says kiss the chef somewhere. I mean, you just never know.
Yeah, so the other thing that we saw is it starts to get really fast and furious towards the end of the trailer, and
Right.
we see images, obviously, of fighting, of different worlds, of different creatures. At one point, there's somebody that Keith is pulling out of a ship. We don't know if that's friend or foe, but it looks like an ally of some sort. And then, of course, one of my favorite lines in the whole thing is when all the team is standing there and it's kind of orange and glowing and stuff like that, and Allura says, "We are always stronger together." And to
Yeah.
me, that's the epitome of Voltron.
Yep, totally agree. It was a great trailer, and I'm sure that this season is going to rock the Casbah, as it were.
Yeah. So, you and I, being that we're on this podcast, we were given an opportunity to actually do a screener of the first three episodes of season two.
Yes, we did indeed. And of course, we were also fortunate enough to get to watch season 2, episode 2 at New York Comic Con 2016. So, it was kind of a rerun of episode 2, but a very enjoyable one. And yes, of course, episodes 1 and 3 were new to us too. So, yeah, wow.
Right, and episode two was The Depths, and that was the one that included Lance and Hunk and
Right.
underwater adventures with mermaids.
Yes.
Yeah, so in season two, when it starts off, we're seeing what happens as the result of the wormhole that got affected by Hagar's magic and
Right.
separated them off into different areas. So we do catch up with, in that first episode, we do catch up with Shiro and Keith again. So, without saying too much as to what happens in the plot, we do know that Shiro and Keith are back in episode one, and we saw Allura and Karan in the castle, and we saw Pidge.
Yes. Everything that we love in season one, the character bits, the humor bits, the action, The drama, all of it is back in season two, and the plot definitely begins to move forward in a new way. And wow, it's good.
Yeah, and we get to see what these characters are like when they know they don't have the others to count on, and when they're on their own and have to use their own judgment, their own skills, their own talents, and all that kind of stuff to help them get through. It's kind of a different aspect when if you're part of a team and all of a sudden your team's not there and you have to count on yourself and you don't have anybody else there to help you.
Yeah, it's a whole new thing for these guys. I mean, these five paladins have learned to work together as one, to fight as one, to think as one in order to form Voltron. And after having become this cohesive unit and gotten a little experience under their belts, they're now split apart. They've got to sort of fend for themselves, or at least in smaller groups. It's a fun new twist.
Right. By the end of the third episode, I think we kind of have an idea of how the rest of the season is going to go, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I'm excited. I mean,
Right.
it's I don't know how much to say. I'm going to say very little, except to say that yes, I mean, there is some follow-up to an event that people speculated a lot about in the very last episode. I mean, actually, quite a bit of follow-up, but a little thing at the end, right, where the paladins seem to be able to escape the Galra base, the Galra headquarters. And there's going to be a little follow-up to that, and it goes in a new and exciting way. I'm very excited about it.
Right, me too. And we do get to see them interact with Zarkon, within those first three episodes.
Yeah, there is a bit of backstory that is revealed in these first three episodes concerning the paladin that everyone is speculating so much about in terms of his fate. There's a bit revealed about the backstory. I'm not going to say anything more, but you do begin to learn a bit more about where he was before he landed on Earth in the first episode.
Right. I would love to be able to say more, but we can't really talk about this until after January 20th when everybody gets to see it for themselves.
Yeah, so bottom line is, it is full of awesome Voltron Legendary Defender goodness. I think you will love these episodes as much as we have.
But do also understand that there were other people who got to see these first three episodes as screeners, and they are going to be able to talk about them, this week.
Right.
So you might be seeing stories out that do provide more spoilers and than you want to see. So be
Right.
careful. If you don't want to see the spoilers, don't read the articles, don't watch the videos. Just wait until January 20th.
I will say this, that how about we make this our solemn vow that we will be a spoiler-free safe zone for fans until January 20th.
Right. After January 20th, it's pretty much up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would think that many of our listeners will have watched the episode several times by January 21st.
Well, I gotta tell you, if it comes out early in the morning like it did last time, like I'm talking really early in the morning, like when people are usually sleeping.
Ah, yes,
If it comes out that early in the morning again, I'm still only going to get up at my normal wake up time.
Yeah.
But my son and I both have off that day.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, he's off from school and I'm off from work, and we're both going to be sitting down with our cereal and watching it
Wow,
again.
is this by design that you're both off?
No, it just worked out. It worked out that the school was off, but I definitely had to plan a day off.
Yeah.
I had to take a vacation day.
Yeah, that's cool. What a great choice for a vacation day.
Yeah.
And depending on your political motivations, turning on Netflix may be very much more to your liking.
Oh yeah, I'd probably have to say so. I heard that the inauguration was happening at 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be in the middle of my season of Voltron while that's going on.
Yeah, and you know what? Whatever you think of politicians, past, present, future, I would say watching Voltron is probably more fun than watching any inauguration speech. So wherever you lean, whichever wing you tend to prefer, Voltron's twin red wings are the way to
Okay. All right.
go.
So, we talked about the toys, we talked about the season two trailer, we talked about season two episodes. Pretty soon here, we're going to get to talk to some people who were involved with season two.
Yes. Woohoo.
So we're looking very much forward to that. We have an interview coming up really soon with Joaquin and Lauren,
Yep.
and we will get to do that within the next couple of days. So what we do have is we have a very special guest with us today.
We do. I met this fine person at New York Comic Con 2016, and she's really awesome, and we're gonna get to chat with her.
Right, and we had talked about in last year's, I guess it was our anniversary episode, right?
Yes.
It was during our anniversary episode that we mentioned that we wanted to get, coming in 2017, a Voltron fan artist spotlight.
And this is the first.
And we will still have, obviously, our Voltron fan spotlight with the Voltron voice memes. So, with that going on, let's talk to our Voltron fan artist spotlight for the first time in 2017.
Yep, this is Cheetoy.
Hi.
Hello, Cheetoy. Welcome to the podcast.
We can just call you Chi for short, right?
Yeah.
It'd be a little awkward to call you Toy. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so she's been listening to the podcast probably since the beginning, right?
Yes.
When we first got involved, we found out very quickly that you actually live really close to me, right?
Yep.
The other thing that we found out really quickly was, just how talented you are as an artist.
Oh, thank you.
I was spinning through your DeviantArt page, chitoy.deviantart.com, and there's some great stuff out there.
I think there used to be more, but I can always repost stuff if I take the time to actually see what's still there and what I have in my collection.
now. This may sound weird, but does stuff fall off from time to time, or how does that work?
I'm not sure completely, but sometimes I would find that a piece of artwork may have gotten corrupted over time, and so it just needs to be re-put back up. Go figure. I'm not sure what's going on for it to do that. I think there's like a certain limit amount of space that I have since it's, just your average account on DeviantArt.
Gotcha.
And so they only probably give you so much, and so over time, some of the older stuff might disappear.
Well, what I'm seeing looks really, really cool. So thank you for sharing that with Voltron fans.
Well, thank you.
So you've been on for 5 years, is that correct?
Roughly.
And was there anything online that you did before with your artist's work?
I used to have stuff on BraveNet, and I think there were some other sites. There were, GeoCities, but I couldn't manage them anymore. It was just a hassle. So I found that Deviant was just kind of easier for me.
So do you find that may be the premier site for artists to share their art?
I think it is, but I haven't been really looking for other sites. I have found another site that is, seems possible, but it's all in Japanese.
Oh.
Ooh.
So that would make it very awkward for me.
Huh.
But it makes for some wonderful viewing of seeing other people's artwork on other places.
Okay.
Well, that's cool.
You've been listening to the podcast for as long as the podcast has started, and one of the first things that we noticed real quickly was that you get inspiration from a lot of different places. And one of the first things that we saw was your arena fight. And arena fight was what would happen if the Voltron Force had actually fought that very first Drool Gladiator instead of escaping. You gave it to us in a visual form.
Yeah, that was really actually kind of fun. And part of me wants to go back and try and draw more of that fight when I have time. It's been a hassle sometimes because there's so many ideas that I have. And it's just trying to make a list of all the things I want to do. It's like so much to draw, so little time.
So to give some context to our listeners, this fight we're talking about is in the very first episode of Voltron: Defender of the Universe. And in that storyline, the space explorers are captured and taken to Planet Doom, the domain of King Zarkon, and they quickly escape. In the original Beast King Go Lion episode, it's stated, although not seen, that the pilots have actually fought and defeated one of the Death Black Beast men there on Planet Galra. And so, is this your illustration of what that fight might have been like?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Right.
I just wanted to give some context to some fans who have joined us through Voltron Legendary Defender and might not know that history. So,
Yeah.
right. During that escape, we found out that Hunk was afraid of heights, and they didn't like the fact that they when they got to the other side, they were in a field full of bones.
Yeah, that was a fun scene at times. I mean, because I'm trying to, part of me is just like imagining how strong those birds are to, for them to fly down all the way from up high and down to the ground.
Right.
Yeah, maybe the gravity's lighter on planet Galra/Doom.
I know. I think those were really strong birds.
Okay. All right. I'm going with very strong birds. If they're eating what winds up as skeletal remains on the surface of the planet, they're probably pretty strong.
Yeah.
Your next drawing for us that was inspired by the podcast was when we were talking about the Olympics, and you did a picture of Voltron snowboarding.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was that. We had that up on our Facebook page for a long time, for a while.
I definitely want to try another Olympic event, maybe something summer related.
That must be one huge board.
Yes, that's a huge board. Yeah, I don't know if you'll be able to do, you know, as much as some professional snowboarders can do out there, but man, that was a huge, huge board.
Well, you also probably need a huge mountain, too, to get some serious slopes.
Good point.
Yeah, giant robots need giant mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no mountain high enough. Sorry.
Ooh.
One of the other things that we've received over the years, you make Voltron Christmas cards, and they're very well done.
Yeah, it's something I like to do for my friends, and I just have fun making them, because part of me is like, you know, being a loving Voltron. I just like, I want on Christmas to be able to have Voltron cards to give. And part of me was a little, you know, I was like, there's nothing really out there. And it's like, well, I guess I'll have to make them.
And how many do you make every year?
Roughly about 14 to 15.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll bet they take a while.
They do, especially because, you know, each one individually made with watercolors. And I tried this year to be on time and like by making them right after Halloween, but you know, family chaos as usual. Next you know, it's like I'm already behind. Still got some cards I have to mail out.
Right.
So you hand make each one?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's got to take a long time. The rest of us are just, you know, buying boxes of Christmas cards, signing them with our names inside, you know, putting them in envelopes and then addressing the envelopes and mailing them out. That doesn't take nearly as long as drawing a full Voltron drawing on each card.
Wow. And each one's different.
Yeah, that is amazing.
It is.
Once someone receives one, I put it up on DeviantArt.
Yes, I noticed that. You recently posted a couple of Christmas ones.
Yep.
You've got a Voltron plush out there.
That's what I sent to Mark Oliver. And
yes.
I decided, you know, I was like, I kind of wanted to sort of simplify because I'm still, you know, trying to get familiar with all the details of the new Voltron. I thought, well, why don't I just kind of make them plushy?
Now, do you have any of the new toys?
Yes, I just recently got just the basic figure set.
Yeah, those would be good study models, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes, they are. And I'm already got two sets in a way, because my local comic shop has provided me the second set.
Wow.
So I kind of already got two places, but I'm keeping my eye out for those larger versions because I'm fighting with my daughter already over the toys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still producing the video review of those legendary lions, which I love, by the way. And yeah, they're a lot of fun to play with. Yeah.
We have been enjoying the toys very much. So we're happy that they're now, you know, out in all the stores, but I've still realized that some of the stores are taking longer to get their shipments, and some are taking a while to get their boxes out of the, you know, where they take them off the truck and actually onto the shelves.
At my local Toys R Us, they disappeared pretty fast. There was probably 9 of the figures.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them were extras. And huh. So I took almost a full set. The only one that was missing was the Lion Attack Voltron.
Oh.
I got that one from my comic book shop, but from the Toys R Us. I mean, I just grabbed all that I could, and I come back another day just to see if they put more out. There was nothing.
I'm wondering how long it's going to take for new shipments to come in every day.
I imagine most stores get their trucks once, maybe twice a week. But yeah, it's kind of hard to tell. I was at a local Toys R Us today, and all they had left was a Mizax from the basic assortment, and which is kind of sad because Mizax is awesome. But he was all alone.
Yeah.
I would have definitely grabbed one just so I could have a little kit bash fun with him.
Yeah, he was surrounded by Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie toys, so he was in dire straits.
Yeah, and I just went out to the Target today and I got my Green Lion and Blue Lion of the legendary lines that I needed to complete the set. So I had to actually ask the guy to go in the back and get them because I had gone on that BrickSeek.com site and had found out that their stock had gone from out of stock to in stock and that they were supposed to have six of them.
I'm going to have to check that site again
Yeah.
just so I can make sure.
For Walmart and Target, it works, but they don't do one for Toys R Us.
I never even heard of the site till now, so thank you.
Yeah, actually, Mark Oliver was the one that had sent it out. He had, I guess, put it out on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or something like that. And
Oh, yeah.
yeah, had let everybody know that you can use that site as a way to see what's in stock.
It's all coming back to me now. Thank you, Mark Oliver. Sorry about that.
Yep. Everybody's jumping at the bit to get these Voltron toys. Of course, we're getting very close to January 20th, where we'll actually get to see season two.
So Cheetoy, are you looking forward to season two?
You mean it's not happening tomorrow? No, I am very, I mean, chomping on a bit wanting season two. Because it's like I'm already like in withdrawal. I feel like I have the entire season one memorized, which is kind of ridiculous. But you know, this is like I need some fresh Voltron. The comic book is not keeping me happy. The watching it over again, I need fresh.
Wow.
Now, the overwhelming majority of art that I see on your DeviantArt side, at least on your page, at least the Voltron stuff seems to be from Voltron Force. I assume you like that show too.
Oh, I love Voltron Force.
Join the club. I love that too.
So now that Voltron Force is one of the series from the past, do we expect to see more Voltron Legendary Defender type art from you, or are you still going to be doing stuff from Voltron Force?
I am going to be putting some Legendary Defender art soon. I'm trying to get myself very comfortable with the styles. My Shiro tends to shift a little bit, and sometimes my art style kind of goes back to Voltron 4, so I'm trying to get it all nice and steady. But oh yeah, I'm gonna have. Sometimes I actually like to switch things up a bit and would have art that looks like from. You know, it's like if I had Voltron Force and Legendary Defender Universe and vice versa. So I'm still on that, you know, kind of flux phase, but it'll all settle down into Legendary Defender.
So you've done mashups between Voltron Force and Voltron Legendary Defender?
Yep, I think I did, but I haven't put it up on DeviantArt. I think I had it like in my Twitter. So I was like, I think if you dig down deep in the photos, you might find a few of them out there.
One of the favorite ones that I saw out there on DeviantArt was Form Blazing Heart.
Yes.
Can you tell me what inspired that one?
Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And the idea was is that in the process of forming the blazing sword, they managed to create an arc that forms a heart.
Aww.
And I thought that would make like a great Valentine's card. To, you know, like if a Voltron fan was able to find another Voltron fan, and it's like a gift to another person.
So you're like the hallmark of Voltron,
right?
Little bit, because there's for me, it's like having like there's this empty void, and I want to fill it. And sometimes during the holidays, you know, you want to give something wonderful to all your fellow fan friends. And it's like, you know, here I'm thinking of you, and it's Voltron.
That's cool.
Now, another one of your pieces is called Keith Teaching Sven's Son How to Drum. And it's a Christmas tree with gifts under it. There's a Voltron gift leaning against the wall. And there's Keith. This is from Voltron Force. He's down there with some drumsticks. And across from him is this little baby boy. And from Voltron Force, Sven, the pre-Allura pilot of Blue Lion, had a son. And, you know, the son was taken to Allura's nanny from her childhood to help raise Sven's son while Sven, you know, disappeared into parts unknown with this Hegarium infection. So do you have any idea where Sven might be in the fictional world of this art piece?
Well, where is Sven in the Voltron Force universe?
Yeah, where's he at in your mind?
In my head, that Viking is just too hard to put down. So part of me likes to think that he's still roaming on
Krydor,
whatever is left of Krydor, and still basically saying, leave me alone whenever someone gets near.
Okay.
That's
but,
cool.
You know, my kind of hope is that a cure was found and someone says, we have the answer. It works.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how long you've been infected.
That would be great.
So another, I hesitate to say common theme, but several of the pieces on your DeviantArt page feature Keith and Allura from Voltron Force in what looks like, kind of romantic sort of arrangements. So
yes.
Would you call yourself a shipper?
Oh, yes, I ship. I ship the whole Armada, but I'm a primary Keith Allura shipper.
From Voltron Force or
from
the other
all
shows?
Of them.
Okay.
So do you like Keith a little?
That's an understatement. I love him. Absolutely do. I was like, since I was a little girl, it was all about Keith.
So in the new show, Voltron Legendary Defender, you know, the pilot Lion assignments are, of course, different. You know, Keith, up until this new series, has been the leader of the team and the pilot of Black Lion, and Princess Allura has been the pilot of Blue Lion. And, of course, that's different in Legendary Defender. So with that being different, and, of course, the interactions among the characters being different, do you see Keith Allura potential in this new show?
With the show, I sometimes have issues with a lot of shipping because I feel like shipping is best when it's from the fans. But I like it when the show may hint at it. So that way it kind of allows a little bit more openness for others who like other ships.
Okay, that's fair.
That makes sense.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know, if you hint to there is some kind of relationship happening, but it doesn't overwhelm the story. Because for me, the story is very key.
So given that, Voltron Force certainly suggested that there may be a future for Keith and Allura. I mean, they were still, you know, not super in your face about it, but certainly it was more, I would say, more explicitly suggested than prior shows have done. So was it still subservient enough to the main story to satisfy you? Or did you think having it that front and center for as briefly as it was over the top? What are your thoughts?
It all depends upon how it's handled. If it's handled appropriately, I would have no issues, but I would love it.
Did you like the sort of follow-on to Voltron Force from the 30th anniversary book where,
That made my day right there.
Yeah, the panel where they're smooching, yes.
Oh, yes. And to say that they were going to get married, and it's like, yes, this is great. But I can also understand that this is a whole different universe. And in a way, this is like building up to a relationship. And so you want to kind of keep it nice and sweet. And not have it feel forced.
Mm-hmm.
It has to feel like it's evolved.
Right.
And that's what I would love. You know, it's like, it would be great, but, it, you know, as long as it doesn't come off too strong, if it doesn't come off forced, I'm great and happy. But, you know, I've seen a lot of the ships in the other artwork, and I like them too. But it's an interesting perspective, and it would be kind of interesting to see what goes on in my head is like how much of my headcanon and what's the show canon, see how that kind of meshes and stuff.
Yeah, I'd say you're not alone, especially as the new series unfolds. It's amazing to me how many combinations have surfaced in this new series, you know, with people pairing off this person and that person and all that. It's pretty amazing.
It is, and it has created some beautiful artwork out there. And so it's like, I don't want to shoot anyone's ship down because it's the stuff is beautiful.
Right, and they had recently had a Voltron fan artist Robeast contest where they asked people to make their own Robeast, and, you know, it would have to be a Robeast that could actually be formidable against Voltron.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you actually made it to what, the semifinals? Or the quarterfinals?
I think it was the quarterfinals.
Okay.
No, the semis.
Okay.
Because I didn't get very far.
Right.
The character who took Mike Crab out was, I called him Skull Crotch. Because it was such a noticeable feature.
Yeah, I remember that.
I could understand saying, it's like, I could have called it Hyena or some kind of jackal, but they put a skull for the crotch. And
and what did you call yours?
Well, mine was Krabby.
Krabby. Okay.
Congrats for getting that far. That's
really Yeah, cool. that was pretty impressive. You know Zilla won it, right?
Oh, yes, and I'm absolutely happy for her.
And you guys get along great. You guys are fellow artists and you're pretty well friends, and you got to meet her at New York Comic Con, right?
Oh, yes, and I love her fiance. He's nice. I mean, they are a great-looking couple, and she makes beautiful artwork.
Yeah. She did our third anniversary print, which was really nice.
Oh, which was really cool. She's made some really great charms, keychains,
mm-hmm.
and washi tape that I'm getting soon.
What's it called?
Washi tape, which is like this tape that has these prints on them, and they're really easy to rip, and they're cool.
Huh, I never heard of that.
I've never heard of that before.
Well, it's kind of like a decorative stationery thing for crafters.
Cool.
Oh.
And she had made a limited run of black and white tape with the faces and the lion faces as well on them. And it just was so cool looking, and I had to have them.
That's cool.
So you have a very distinct style, obviously. What's your favorite types of tools to use for your art?
Well, for me, it's the Micron pen and watercolors.
Okay. And is there a specific type of paper that you like to do those on?
It varies most of the time, but it kind of goes between Bristol board and watercolor paper.
That's neat. So are you totally analog, or do you do any Photoshop or ZBrush or anything like that?
I'm definitely old school.
That's cool.
But I've been kind of plotting on selling some of my stuff in order to upgrade myself to a digital. So at least that way I can have a little more variety of things I could make and probably even sell one day.
There isn't a place where you sell anything right now.
Not now, but probably the first place I'm going to do is, and this is me still kind of planning things out, is probably going to be selling my originals on eBay.
Wow.
But I haven't set up anything yet.
Well, I got to tell you, I think my favorite piece that I've seen on your site is the Tiki Gary. I've been looking around like, Gary. Oh gosh, yeah. So yeah, I see three or four of them here. And yeah, Tiki Gary is definitely tops for me.
Well, I always wondered, you know, you do have some things that aren't Voltron out there. So what inspires you besides Voltron?
I would say Art Nouveau. I've been a fan of Alphonse Mocha.
Wow.
And I've been attempting to do something in his style. But trying to get that decorative look is very tricky.
So who is Alphonse Mocha?
My details on art history are pretty shoddy. But during the, believe it was the 1920s, during the Art Nouveau art style, for both art and architecture. He was a Slavic artist.
Oh.
And I believe he was in America. He did a lot of posters for theater.
Okay.
But he done it for all sorts of things, like advertisements. So he's got artwork just about almost anywhere. But he kind of represented the Art Nouveau. What his art style was very iconic. So usually when you say Art Nouveau, some people will just pull him up right out of the hat. I've been wanting to just do something in his style because it was just very fluid. And hair would just be everywhere, but it's just be so neat to look at. Yeah, I'm still working on it.
That's fine.
I have to plead ignorance about him, but but I admired your description of the style, and I'd like to see what you come up with.
Well, I try to attempt it. I think probably in the older stuff, there's a Keith Allure one. It's a black and white, but there's a sort of like a detailed background behind the couple, and that was sort of an attempt playing onto that style.
Okay. Well, one thing I did want to find out is where exactly did you get your start in doing art?
Well, technically, I've been doing art as far as I can remember. You know, I was always doodling, and then once Voltron came on air, that's when I started actually really making fan art.
So you're one of the original fan artists.
Yeah, I have a pen. In my memory, I have to find it because I don't throw any of my art away. So somewhere hidden is a painting of Keith as a dragon.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was kind of funny because I was trying to, he's like, Keith has been cursed by Hagar. He's a dragon now.
Huh.
And I thought, I want to find it because I thought it would be hilarious if, because I've seen some people go then and now to show what's happened over their art style. And so I thought it would be hilarious that here in the past, when I was a little kid, and it's 1984, Keith as a dragon, and here's 2017, Keith as a dragon.
That would be cool. That would be cool to see the difference.
Alex Ross has been doing that on his Facebook page lately. He's been sharing a lot of his superhero art that he had done as a small child and a lot of the stuff that he's done in, you know, as a professional artist. And it's actually a lot of fun to see. So if you're willing to jump in that. Yeah, it sounds like a fun thing for you to do as well.
Yeah.
We'll see. If not, I'll try and find some old artwork, maybe from when I was in college. That would be old enough. I have to find some of that old fan art.
You know, speaking about fan art, you've got a lot of Voltron stuff out there, obviously, but you've got some other franchises represented on your DeviantArt page. What are some of the other things that you've enjoyed drawing?
Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Basically, that's what I fall upon between the big gaps in the past between Voltron series. I did enjoy Transformers, but it was Beast Wars that really won me.
Really? Okay, that's cool.
And then they went into Beast Machines, and I was like, ooh, ah.
So what did you think of it? It was like this color explosion when Beast Machines came out.
Mm-hmm. To me, it was like, you know, it was like techno, and it's organic, and it's smooth and sleek.
So let's talk Transformers a bit. To give some context to our listeners, again, you know, we have listeners who've been around, you know, who've been around Voltron since the 80s. There are some new to Voltron people out there. Transformers dates back to 1984 as well, and the Beast Wars and Beast Machines series are from the mid to late 90s, which is roughly the time that Voltron the Third Dimension was on the air. What was it about Beast Wars and then Beast Machines that interested you so strongly?
The storyline. It was a fun story. And then I was like looking at the computer graphics, and if you were to compare Beast Wars to Voltron Third Dimension, one obvious is that it was light.
And yeah, yeah.
It wasn't, I mean, granted they did have darks, but it wasn't so dark. And so you had a lot of sunshine and light. And the graphics, I mean, I'm not sure what they were using for the computer software programs, but it was incredible.
Definitely different visual styles. And yeah, I agree that it was nice that they turned up the ambient lighting in Beast Wars relative to Voltron: The Third Dimension. As much as I like that show, I often find myself when I watch it today wanting to turn up the brightness on my monitor, you know?
Yeah, and that's what kind of irritated me was is that it was so dark. I mean, even the lightheartedness, like the episode Considered the Alternatives, that was a kind of a fun episode, but it was so dark in the background, and so it kind of dampened the storyline a bit.
Yeah, it was even hard to tell that Mirror Universe Voltron had a goatee, wasn't
That was, yeah, it was very tricky, but when you did
it?
see it was funny.
Talking Transformers. There's a fair amount of overlap between people who like Transformers and people who like Voltron. Do you have any particular favorite series from Transformers, aside from Beast Wars and Beast Machines, or are those your favorites?
Technically, those are my favorites right now. Me and my husband got together through Transformers,
Really?
Oh,
actually.
yeah.
We talked a lot over the message boards, and that's how we kind of met. And then Michael Bay got his hands on Transformers, and we both kind of went, So it's like we still love Transformers, but Michael Bay kind of left a taste in our mouth that we couldn't handle anymore.
Well.
I've been trying to get back into Transformers a couple times, but they kept moving from channel and time slot, and it was hard to keep track.
Voltron, its origins are based in anime. Do you follow any other anime properties?
Oh, yes, quite a few.
Like what?
Naga, I'm going to try and pronounce something.
Nagamora?
I think it ends with an I, Nagamora. Yeah, I guess that's it.
It sounds familiar. I've not seen it, but it does sound familiar.
Yes, the main character is Yato, and I love him.
That's cool.
And I read the manga, and I watched, I think it was on Netflix. The first season, and it's just, I was like all about Yato.
That's cool. I used to love watching Guyver. Do you remember that? I think that was in the late 80s through the 90s. It was
Oh,
called
yeah.
Bio Booster Armor Guyver. And then in the subtitled versions, I'm sorry, the dubbed versions, what's his name? Sho Fukamachi, I think his name is, the guy who transformed into Guyver. His best friend was always yelling, "Sho!" It was almost a drinking game. But yeah, fun stuff. Have you done any fan art on other anime properties?
There was a comic book that came into America. I'm trying to remember exactly when. It was Zeon Armored Warrior. And
Oh, cool.
it was sort of like Guyver, where the guy's a robot or a cyborg. And so I collected the series, and I was so in love with the detailed art and this machinery and stuff. And actually, because of that, and along with Dirty Pair and Photon Crisis, I actually fall in love with a comic book artist named Adam Warren, who had done like Americanized comics. And I'm still in love with, it's like whenever he puts out a comic book, even if it's a short run, I have to have it.
That's neat. That's really cool. I have not been an active consumer of anime in many years, but there's some great stuff out there, and manga as well. Fascinating genres.
Oh yeah.
That's neat. So I guess we ought to segue back into Voltron. So what are you looking forward to seeing in season two of Voltron Legendary Defender?
Ooh, the relationship between Keith and Shiro. My bets are they're cousins.
Really?
But that's in my head. In my head,
Okay.
it's like they're definitely not brothers, but they do have sort of like a brotherly relationship. Or at least that's how I read it.
Okay.
So part of me will think, like, well, maybe they're cousins, or maybe because Keith is technically an orphan, that maybe Shiro actually lived next door, and his family kind of sort of adopted him, and it was like, you don't have to live in that, foster house. You come stay with us.
That's neat.
And so they've kind of taken a sort of like a little family relationship from in the past.
Okay.
But I just want to see a little bit more details about that. Definitely also am looking forward to seeing the second episode again.
Yes, yeah, they previewed season 2, episode 2 at New York Comic Con.
Yes, and even though I have not made the hat, for those who were at Comic Con, you'll understand when I mention hat. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but trust me, it's good.
It is a good one.
But I wanted to make a hat representing something from that episode, but trying to find the clear vinyl and fun materials, not easy around here.
Now, as I recall, I think you and I had talked about some of the Voltron Legendary Defender toys at New York Comic Con. They had some of them on preview at the
The Voltron Collective Party?
on Friday night in the Bronx. And I remember you talking about wanting to buy multiples of these toys to customize them.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you've had some of these toys in your hands, I'm kind of getting out from the kinds of work that you do on paper and thinking three-dimensionally. What are some of your thoughts for dressing up these toys?
For one thing, it's like, as probably some people have noticed about how Voltron's face isn't really fully painted. And so part of me wants to go in and put in the details. And so that way it's like it fully looks exactly show representative. Also to make it all shiny. Basically just kind of in a way glitterize Voltron. So he looks like he's brand new, just freshly made. He's shining, he's glistening. There's no scratches or anything.
That's cool.
Brand new.
Right out of the box.
Yeah, just straight out of the box.
They had put some battle scars on Ultimate Voltron, but not on the Legendary Voltron.
But that's okay. I can work with that because I've actually seen a magazine called I think it's Hobby Magazine. But it's a
Okay.
Japanese one. And they usually do a lot of Gundam customizations. And so it would be kind of
Oh,
interesting to make my own little diorama.
wow. Oh,
It's Voltron just after a big battle. I mean, he's got heavy damage everywhere. And it's going to be a fixed position when all said and done. But it looks like, he's pulling himself up. Everyone, yes, survived and stuff. But you can definitely tell there's going to be a long bit of repairs. Gonna be
Yeah.
coming.
It does make me wonder if in the series Voltron does get bashed up a bit. I mean, obviously Zarkon wants Voltron, so he wouldn't want to destroy it, but maybe a Rogue Beast accidentally shoots a little better than it might want to. And it makes me wonder, can these guys repair these lions? Are there facilities in the castle to actually do that?
And that would make an interesting thing to see. It's like there was episodes in Defender of the Universe where Blue Lion really took a big hitting. I definitely want to see more Easter eggs from 80s pop up in the new show.
I do want to talk about a very special fan art piece that you made as an exclusive for Let's Voltron. So we were at New York Comic Con and we were just at the dinner table, right? We had some ideas and everything, and we suddenly had the idea, what about a collage of all the different Voltrons? So tell everybody what you came up with.
Well, using the way Legendary Defender does their collaging everyone together, I've made sort of like where Legendary Defender Voltron, he's front and center as the face of Shiro in a way, because he's the current one. But then surrounding him is the Voltrons from all the other series. So you have a represent of 1980. And then you have a representative of the Voltron Third Dimension. And then you have Vehicle Voltron as well, but representative. And then you have Voltron Force Voltron.
Right. So what was the Voltron from Voltron the Third Dimension?
The interesting thing about Third Dimension was that the Voltron looked just like 1980s Voltron, except they decided to give that Voltron a new talent, and that was to be a stealth Voltron. And so I decided to, for representing third dimension, we would have stealth Voltron, who is really black all over.
So that's the one in the bottom right.
Yes. So in the
Right.
bottom right, you'll see this, strange Voltron you know, where the jaw of the lion hangs a lot differently than it was on all the other Voltrons. Yeah, but open up the face, open up the mouth, and voila, there's the head.
I've heard some people call Stealth Voltron Hoodie Voltron.
You know, it does look like a hoodie.
Yeah, a little bit. So what did you name this piece?
The Five Faces of Voltron.
All right, so this is an exclusive for Let's Voltron podcast listeners. The Five Faces of Voltron, you're going to see it for the first time in our first Voltron fan artist spotlight on this podcast on letsvoltron.com. So when this podcast is released, you will see this Five Faces of Voltron done by Chitoy.
And it looks really cool. Thank you for making this.
Yes, thank you.
I had a lot of fun making it. Aside from, you know, making sure that I had a ruler to make sure my lines were straight.
Mm-hmm. The split screen lines.
Yeah. Here I kind of, you know, used my inks. And, you know, instead of my usual watercolors, I wanted to use, my nice colored ink pens. So that way I can get a nice smooth color as much as possible. That's kind of it for me. I mean, it's...
How long did it take you?
Oh, quite a long process because, especially with Stealth Voltron, I had to look through the internet to find a good picture of him. There wasn't that much good photographs because usually it was either blurry or something was not right. But it took me a while, but I finally found one.
It's really tough to find good images of Stealth Voltron, isn't it?
Yeah. And so it took a couple weeks to do because for me, it's easy to, you know, whip down your pencils, but then, you know, to make sure that all my line work was, you know, nice and clean. Then, you know, just to make sure that the colors were just right, because, you know, I wanted it to be dark enough that once the image was scanned, you could easily, you know, nicely see it.
The listeners should know that you still have the original of this, and we are just showing a digital copy of this.
I had a small scanner, so I actually had to scan it twice and then work the pieces together.
Wow.
Yeah, you did a great job on that.
Because the original size is 9 by 14 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I used a big piece of paper because I wanted to really get this. My scanner can only handle like 8 and 11 inches. So.
Right. So you
took a little work.
You used your old school skills.
I made it happen.
Yeah. So we really appreciate that, by the way. This is a very special thing for the listeners of Let's Voltron to have this Voltron fan artist spotlight in addition to our Voltron fan spotlight, where we still do the Voltron voice memes. But we really appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to many, many more pieces of art coming out from you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chitoy.
Thank you. I hope to have a lot more good stuff once some little person lets me have my pens back.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on Let's Voltron, and we want to thank you for being the first Voltron fan artist spotlight and also for the exclusive Five Faces of Voltron, first ever seen on Let's Voltron.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for being on with us, and thanks for sharing your talents with the Cyberverse. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was our first Voltron fan artist spotlight for 2017. What do you guys think?
If I represent you guys,
then, you can represent them if you want.
All right. And everyone else listening, Chitoy is awesome. Again, I mentioned before we spoke with her for this interview that, I had met her at New York Comic Con 2016. You had already known her, and she's just a hoot. And, we got to hang out with her, I believe, was it the Friday or the Saturday? Well, both.
Yes, both.
Yeah. Of that weekend, and she loves to draw. It doesn't matter where she is, what she's doing, that sketch pad comes out and she is on it. And she's very talented and very insightful person, and it was a lot of fun to chat with her for this podcast. So Chitoy, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yes, and Thank you for all the wonderful Voltron Christmas cards. Thank you for the Voltron pictures that you made that were inspired by the podcast earlier on in the podcast. And thank you for this latest one, which is the Five Faces of Voltron.
Yeah, what an awesome piece.
Yeah, this Five Faces of Voltron pretty much says it all, because you've got the split screen. You've got all the different Voltrons from all the different shows represented. I don't think it gets any better than that, right?
Yeah, I've actually toyed with the idea of doing a sort of five Voltron thing myself, but I would not presume to be of the caliber of Chitoy or many of the other fine Voltron fan artists out there. What she did was really awesome and generous, and we love it. So thank you again, Chitoy.
And she did that all for us, and she will be posting that on her DeviantArt site after this podcast comes out.
That's great.
So we will also post a link to all of her information for her DeviantArt site.
That's great. Love it.
So we had our Voltron fan artist spotlight for the first time in 2017. And of course, we're still doing our Voltron fan spotlight. All right. So here you go. Here is our Voltron fan spotlight.
Awesome.
Let's go, Voltron fans! This is your Voltron Fan Spotlight.
Okay, so I decided to do the Voltron meme. My name is Christina, but I go by Chris because my family and my close friends all call me that, so I just like it better. My URL is Allura for Black Lion on Tumblr, and on Twitter it's Lance the Starboy. Tell us a little about yourself. This sounds like a job interview now. I'm a junior in college. I'm 21, just turned 21 this month. I'm an English major with a minor in mass comm. I don't know. I have a dog. Okay. How did you get into Voltron? So I saw gift sets of it on Tumblr, but honestly, I saw a lot of Sheath, which was weird. I think I was just following the wrong people. But then I saw a gift set of the bonding moment scene, and I just, like, my eyes were just drawn to Lance, and I was just like, who is this cutie? So I was like, I gotta check this out. And then I watched and I liked it a lot, obviously, or else I wouldn't, whatever. Had you seen any of the earlier shows before watching Legendary Defender? No, but I do want to see Golion. It looks interesting. I want to watch the dub and the sub. But I don't plan on watching, like, the one in between the shows, the American thing. I don't know. The character designs are, like, ugly as hell. Favorite character, Lance. Oh, he's my boy. I think about him all the time. What are your ships? Clance, obviously. Clance. Like, I really love it. But I also, like, I like Hance and I like Heath. I'm cool with Shaylora, but I prefer, or Shellora, but I prefer Shaylora. I think that's all the ships. What are you hoping to see in future seasons? I want Lance. I don't care what he's doing. If he's doing it, I'm cool with it. And Clance would be nice. God, I don't know. I want to see more of the Holtz. I want to see... Jeremy said that Lance is going to show more leadership, so I don't really have to hope for that. But I want to see more about Altea. I want to see... I guess Lance and Karan interact more because I like their dynamic. Favorite episode? Oh God, episode 6 maybe, or no. Episode 9 probably, where the castle goes crazy. Cause that's a good episode. I really like that one. What lion would you pilot? I think that I'm most similar to, like, I'm a mix between Pidge, Allura, and Keith, and I have some Lance thrown in there. But I think that I would pilot the blue lion, even though I feel like I relate the most to Pidge or Allura. Okay, say the following words: Shiro, Keith, Lance, Pidge, Hunk, Allura, Karan, Zarkon, Kerberos, Eris, Altea, Balmera, Quintessence. Why? Those aren't hard. Okay. It doesn't say to tag anybody. What? I tag, if you listen to this for whatever reason, I don't know why you listen to this, please do this, because I don't want to be the only one. And I tag Joe because I want to hear my Michigan bench. Okay, bye.
Thank you for recording that and sharing that with the podcast and with your fellow fans. You're an English major. That is so cool. I'm sure that you have a lot more insight into reading between the lines of dialogue, just like you probably do with all the literary greats out there. There's some great stuff in Voltron, I think, if you read between the lines or the lions. I would encourage you to check out Beast King Go Lion and its adaptation into the Lion Force episodes of Voltron, Defender of the Universe. If for nothing else, then for some historical context. I mean, Voltron Legendary Defender does pull a lot of the best of both worlds from both the original anime as well as the Voltron adaptation. It's just fun from an academic perspective, if nothing else, just to see what the writers of the new series, what inspired them. So please check it out.
What they had to work with.
Yeah, and you know, it's easy to say, oh, the original show is so cheesy, but you know, it entertained and continues to entertain many fans and has done so for over three decades. So there's a lot of good stuff in there too. I always encourage everyone when looking at any adaptation of a property, whether it's a newer one or in your case, older ones, to have an open mind and just, you know, enjoy them for what they are and the conditions under which they were made. I think that every Voltron series has a lot to enjoy. So thank you again for sharing your perspective. Mark, what were your thoughts?
Well, she starts off by saying how she first fell in love with Lance, and then, you know, obviously the rest of the show came with it. But this is what we find what happens a lot in a lot of these shows is a friend recommends this show to you. And you say, okay, why do you like the show so much? And you say, well, there's this hot guy in it. But other than that, it's a really cool show. And of course, the friend sees it and then falls in love with it, but may fall in love with a different character than the friend did, you know? And maybe, yeah, maybe even this new friend that is seeing it for the first time falls in love with it more than the first friend did.
Yeah.
These are the things that happen.
Yeah, and you know, before we spoke with Chitoy, you know, I'd pointed out, you know, everyone buy Voltron stuff. I sound like, QVC or something, and I apologize for that. But, you know, it does help to support, you know, defend the defender, as Jeremy Corey often said. It makes sense to promote your favorite shows through word of mouth as well. I mean, it may sound obvious, but you know what? If you like a show and you have some kind of a thought that people that you know and respect and care about in the real world might like it too, tell them about it. Because, you know, it's at a minimum, it's a great new show for them to check out. And at best, it helps keep this thing going. I, for one, hope that Voltron Legendary Defender is just the start of a resurgence that lasts for many, many years beyond this show and into future projects, animated, live action, theatrical, television, and all of the above. So word of mouth is a great way to spread your love for Voltron.
Right. And if you remember what happened with the original show, when the original show came out in 84, it was the number one syndicated show for 2 years running. And that spawned a whole bunch of merchandise, and that merchandise lasted for years, but the show itself only lasted a little bit past 86. Mm-hmm. So after you saw Fleet of Doom, that was pretty much it. And right. Then, you know, you saw it in reruns for several years after. But the whole, you know, fandom and everything sort of died down. The fame of Voltron died down. And they didn't hear anything new again until Voltron the Third Dimension came out in the late 90s. So in order to get the resurgence back, they had to, you know, start up a new show. They had to start up a new line of toys that came from Trendmasters and everything. And it didn't get as far as the original got. Right. And then again, with Voltron Force, when that came out in 2011, that didn't even have a toy line to support it. So the hope that we were going to get to have Voltron out for good, you know, wasn't really there.
Right.
And now you've got this DreamWorks show, you know, Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix. Netflix is just booming right now. I mean, they're spending money hand over fist right now on all their shows.
Yes. And there are a lot of great shows out there as a result.
Right. And Netflix is starting to get awards out there, you know, for some of its shows. So that's showing that it has a strong showing, you know, when it's compared to some of the more traditional things like the network shows.
Yep.
So what we're seeing here is we're seeing a resurgence of Voltron at a time when, you know, people are trying to do reboots of old shows and not being successful with it. And this one is showing, you know, some really strong roots, and it's, you know, showing that it can go beyond the original and even go better.
Yep. Completely agree. You know, so if anyone ever, you know, if you're hanging out at the break room at the office and someone says, "Did you know they just revived Full House? It's called Fuller House." You could say, "I'm sorry, no, I'm watching Voltron Legendary Defender."
That's right.
You know, yes, let's get Voltron back in more, you know, in front of more people's eyeballs.
And there's people out there that like the Gilmore Girls, and, you know, that's got a resurgence going on right now. There's all types of shows that are showing resurgence, but this show is actually looking stronger in its second season than it did in the first season already.
Completely agree. Yeah, totally.
And there's some shows out there that come out and the first season is awesome, and then things start to die down in the second season and people wonder why, you know, maybe why they went in that direction and all that kind of stuff. But this show keeps on getting better and better, and it doesn't only cater to new fans, it caters to the original fans as well at the same time. And it does a great job of balancing that love for the nostalgic part of Voltron as well as all the new Voltron.
Yeah, I agree. One of my favorite shows that's on right now is Doctor Who. I've been a fan of Doctor Who since the early to mid 90s when I watched reruns on PBS, reruns of the 70s episodes. And I've since become a fan dating all the way back to when it debuted in 1963. Now, the reason I mention that is that many of the newer episodes written by the head writer, Stephen Moffat, include a ton of Easter eggs to old school Doctor Who, including the very first Doctor, William Hartnell. And I think it's a lot of fun when you can have a show that can appeal to people who only know about the new series, you know, the newer episodes, but also have nuggets of fun for the folks who, you know, have been there since the beginning. And Voltron Legendary Defender is definitely that way.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm really getting excited about this because January 20th is getting closer and closer. And this is our first podcast of 2017, and I'm really excited about that because 2017 is going to be a huge year for Voltron. I can just feel it.
Yep, absolutely.
So thank you all for joining us for this first new podcast of 2017. Happy New Year, and we look forward to seeing you all on January 20th for the drop of Season 2 of Voltron Legendary Defender.
Absolutely.
Thank you, and we'll see you all next time on...
Let's Voltron!